heard me refer to the discipling through development, whole life discipleship. And I want to just talk a little bit about that. One of the frequently asked questions, FAQ, that I get all the time is, so what is this whole life discipleship? So the rest of the our time this morning, I'd just like to try and answer that question. This whole life discipleship, what is it? What I want to do, though, is explore a foundational principle which whole life discipleship stands on first. That's how I want to process it this morning. Our overarching mandate, of course, in missions is Matthew 28:19-20, where Jesus declared, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. And then he gave this mandate to his disciples, which has come down through the generations to us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything, that's my emphasis, everything, whole life, that I have commanded. And I will be with you through to the end of the age. And that's what we've come to call Jesus' great commission in the church. It's his great mission statement to send his disciples out. Within that sort of biblical mandate of missions, navigators, I'm part of the navigators ministry, we kind of have adopted a statement that this is what we're about, to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ and his kingdom through into the nations, or into the nations. And so that part about discipling the nations as navigators, we look at that as advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And within discipling for development, a part of navigators. So navigators is a discipling ministry. They have a focus on campus. They have a focus on the military. They have a focus for young couples, if you're not familiar with them. They have a focus on business people, so forth. Discipling for development, our focus is on the poor. That's where our passion is. As I said earlier, to break communities out of the cycle of poverty and doing that through whole life discipleship. So in a nutshell, we believe that the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the advancing of his gospel and his kingdom, is active in transforming every area of life. Spiritually, obviously, of course, that's foundational, that's central, but also physically, economically, education, socially. The gospel of Jesus Christ touches every area of life. And so what I want to do, the reason whole life discipleship, which is our activity, stands, is an Old Testament concept called shalom. Are you familiar with the word shalom? It's an Old Testament concept. It's primarily been translated throughout the scriptures as the word peace. That's how we describe it. But it's actually much broader than that. And I want to show how it's a much broader concept than just how we might understand peace to be. Shalom has actually lasted, though, in a number of greetings right down through the generations. Throughout much of the Middle East and North Africa, you would greet someone, shalom, shalom aleikum, peace be with you. And then the response is, aleikum shalom. And back at you, kind of, right? Peace back to you. In Ethiopia, as people are heading out, you'd say, basalata hidu. Basalata hidu. And that means journey in peace. May you're going out in peace. I guess our favorite, right, is from our time in Tanzania. They had a wonderful, and it just sounds nice, Baba Salama, sleep in peace. You know that Christmas carol, sleep in heavenly peace, it's that concept, Baba Salama. We actually had it on our walls over our bed in Tanzania. So when we think of peace today, we often think, you know what, that just means there's no war, there's no conflict, and that's kind of it. Peace be with you stops there. But the concept of shalom talks about far more than just absence of war or conflict. It's, I think, far deeper than how we view peace even today in our modern thinking, modern understanding. Shalom is much deeper than that. It's much higher than that. It's much broader than that. Shalom talks about a state of being where everything in our lives is in balance. Everything is wholly healthy. Everything in our lives, physically, spiritually, socially, education, all of that is completely whole. Any area of your life is in harmony. It talks about an inner tranquility. So inside, you're at peace or you're tranquil because every area of your life is fitting together the way that God intends it to be. In the Bible, it's actually shalom is used 429 times. Now, I didn't count that today. I got that from reading a couple of sources. But it's a key principle throughout the scriptures, both Old and New Testament. And I want to look at a few of these verses just to get the idea of the concept of shalom. So I'm not going to go through 429. I'll just go through a few verses. And just, we can look at how what we've translated as peace may actually have a deeper meaning in the scriptures. And because of that deeper meaning, as we disciple the nations, as it were, we have whole life discipleship. So very often in church we have a blessing that actually goes back to Numbers chapter 6, verses 23 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace and give you shalom. Give you wholeness and harmony in every area of your life. And it was a blessing, actually, ironically, for a nation that was going to war. In Numbers 6, the children of Israel had yet to enter into the promised land, the land of shalom, as it were. And this blessing was actually given ahead of that. And it talks about shalom or peace. It's an individual blessing. It's, I would say, a national blessing, and it's actually a global blessing when you go through the scriptures. And it's a blessing where the children of Israel were to enter a land. They were to experience shalom, peace in every area of the land. And through that, to shine the light of God to all the nations around them. It didn't quite work out that way, but that was the sense of that blessing. We just heard Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 this morning. It was read to us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Shalom, Prince of Peace. It's that concept of Jesus' sort of key names, his key characteristic is as the one who brings shalom. He's the Prince who brings us shalom. That sense of completeness, that sense of harmony, that sense of everything fitting together as God intended it to fit together. Jesus is the one who brings us that shalom. Isaiah 53 verse 5 talks about how Jesus accomplished that, or how he was going to accomplish that. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us shalom, that brought us peace, was upon his shoulders. So again, we see even prophecies toward Jesus coming is the fact that his suffering will bring us shalom, will bring us peace. And of course, I'm fast forwarding, right? Now we're going to go into the New Testament. So the shepherds are out there in the field, right? And the angels declare that Jesus is coming, and has come, sorry. And they're kind of a bit frightened. He says, don't be afraid. And then this choir of angels behind them sing this wonderful song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Goodwill to men on whom his favor rests. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, shalom to men on whom his favor rests. Again, you see that concept much broader than no war, no conflict. It's this complete wholeness, complete harmony and health in all areas of life. Jesus himself in John 14:27, as he was getting ready to depart from some of his final discussions and discourses with his disciples, particularly when he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming, "Shalom, I be with you," John 14:27. "My peace or my shalom, I give you." So Jesus is claiming himself as the one who's going back to the Old Testament prophecy, the Prince of Peace. "My shalom, I want to give to you. That's why I came. I want my shalom given to you." And then finally we'll look at, just briefly, Colossians 1:19 and 20, just to kind of get this idea of shalom. I told you I wasn't going to go through all 4:29, but Jesus is, Colossians 1:19 and 20, Jesus is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his dwellings dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself, to God, all things, whether things in earth, things in heaven, by making peace, by making shalom, through his blood on the cross, the blood of Jesus on the cross. And so we see God's completeness dwelling in Jesus, and Jesus bringing us shalom, that completeness, there on the cross. So that's shalom, okay? How does whole life discipleship stand on that? Shalom is, it's a peace that's much broader than absence of war, absence of violence. It's an idea of inner and outer wholeness. It's an idea of all of us, our wholeness, our living together in harmony. It's an idea that even community, self-knowledge community here, we're all living in harmony and wholeness and completeness. It extends to our nation, into your neighbors up north, Canada, it extends throughout the whole world. But how do you link that idea that Jesus is the Prince of Peace to bring us God's completeness, God's shalom? I think to me it's just as we understand that God looks at each of us individually and his intent for us is shalom. As God looks at our families, his intent for our family is shalom, for our neighborhood, for our nation. Whole life discipleship is being active then with God's gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ and his kingdom in all of those areas. I think to me how it's sort of brought together is Paul's New Testament blessing. We heard the Old Testament blessing earlier, but in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, Paul is kind of finishing off his letter to the church in Thessalonica. And he gives them this blessing. "May God himself, the God of peace, the God of shalom, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." May God himself, God of shalom, sanctify you through and through. And then it talks about, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. So whole life discipleship is kind of the action of bringing shalom, gospel of Jesus Christ, his kingdom, to the world that needs that shalom, that wholeness in every area of life. Sort of my kind of springboard for that is one of the Beatitudes, and trying to grasp a different understanding of Matthew 5:19. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God." So if you just insert shalom in there, think about it. Blessed are the shalom makers. And so what we're about as we try and disciple the nations is bringing shalom to the nations. Blessed are the peacemakers, the shalom makers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So to me, whole life discipleship is simply working towards shalom, beginning within myself, extending to my family, my community, my region, my nation, and out to the world. What does it look like? Maybe in closing, let me tell you a story from our time in Malawi. Just to show you what the coming of shalom or the coming of peace through the gospel of Jesus Christ and his kingdom looks like. To set the stage here, there's two things you need to know about this story. Number one, in Malawi there's sort of a parallel government system. So in Malawi, in the cities, you have the regular government as we'd understand it, the district commissioner and the president and you know all that. But once you get out into the rural areas, the old chief system is still intact. So for example, when you get out to a village, the chief actually owns the whole village. The chief would assign you land. The chief would be the one that you go to with your problems. He would adjudicate, or she would adjudicate. And so there's this parallel government system. So that's one thing. The second thing I want you to understand is about a couple called Andy and Wesley Nirenda. They are discipling for development leaders in Malawi. Now, Andy and Wesley are both highly educated. In fact, Andy has just done his master's. And Wesley is a teacher. Normally in Malawi, if you get highly educated, you try and go to an urban setting or maybe teach in a school that pays a high salary. You would not do what Andy and Wesley did. They felt the Lord calling them to go into the rural area and do whole life discipleship in the context of being subsistence farmers. In essence, they were going to live off the land, like most of the villagers, and that's where they would do their disciple ministry. So they're still there doing that out of a place called Lushombe. So Chief Lushombe, the chief is has the name of the community. Chief Lushombe, when they came and asked for some land and explained what they wanted to do, he said, yeah, you can have some land. Well, the land he gave them was wretched land. It was just bush land, full of cobras, and it was just, it was, and we've been there a number of times, way up in the north, beyond the middle of nowhere. And so Andy and Wesley cleared the land, built a home, and began to have Bible studies in their home. Invited the neighbors in. In the course of time, a new woman came to their Bible study that hadn't been there before. And for two or three times she just came, didn't say anything, and then left. But about the fourth or fifth time after they were doing their Bible study, they called for prayer. And she said, well, can you pray for my husband? He spends all our money on drink and on women in town. And very shameful. Our children don't even have school uniforms, don't have shoes. And can you just pray for me? So that was the beginning of it. As she kept coming back and began to open up more and more, what Andy and Wesley came to find out was she was asking prayer for Chief Lushombe, the chief of the village. And she began to share how all the money that she could make with her, the tomatoes, right there. But he would take the money and he would spend it. He would beat her. He would be drunk at the meetings of the chiefs. Completely, he should be a shameful figure at the meetings of the chief. So please, can you pray for this situation? So a description of lack of shalom, right? Complete lack of shalom with this village chief that was spending all his money, wife's money, anything they had on drink and women in town, and he'd get angry and beat his wife, and it was just the complete opposite of what a village chief should do. So they would pray about this, and one thing that Andy always prays, you know, Lord, can I be the answer to my prayer? So pray for this situation with the chief of Shomai, but show me if I could be the answer to that. So in the course of time, God revealed that they prayed about this in a little Bible study that maybe Andy should approach the chief and talk to him about this. So in Malawi, someone who has education and who has status like Andy and Wesley had could probably be at a higher level than this village chief. But Andy did not approach the village chief with that. You know, you're really got a messed up life and you know, you should straight up. He came as custom demands of the law, where you come like this, with your hands like this in front of the chief, and you don't really look him in the eye. So Andy came with a humble attitude and just began to talk to the chief about, you know, chief, I've heard these things, they're true things. And, you know, and as Andy was sharing with me, talk to the chief, my daughters want to be really proud of their village chief. You know, it was one of the statements he used. So Chief Lushoma said, you know, it's true. It's really true. And, so Andy said, well, would you like to do something about it? And the chief, Lushoma said, well, maybe come back in 3 days and we'll discuss it. So in Malawian context, that's no. That's a double thing. Come back in 3 days, we'll discuss it. Andy came back in 3 days and surprised the chief, and they talked some more. And the chief said, can you help me with this problem? Again, in Malawian context, in the way Andy describes it, without going further, that was probably asking for money. And Andy said, no, but I know someone that can help you with it. His name is Jesus Christ. Would you like to truly get help with this problem? And again, it was, well, come back in 3 days. When Andy came back in 3 days, Chief Lushoma decided to accept Christ as Lord and Savior and become a Christ follower. And for Chief Lushoma, God took away the desire for alcohol immediately. And when we came to visit Andy and Resi after some time, we were not in Malawi when the story first started, but by that time, Chief Lushoma was well-dressed. Unheard of in Malawi, he would help his wife dig the fields. Some of you know the African context of that. Some African countries, that's unheard of. He actually gave his wife some money to invest in buying and selling of materials and clothes and that kind of thing. His children were, they had shoes, they had school fees, school uniforms. And when he went to the meetings of the chiefs, he was well respected. And actually, the other chiefs said, well, what happened, chief? What happened, and he could share the gospel of Jesus Christ in his community. And so, just in brief, real quick, and sort of to end this concept of shalom, that's what it looks like when the shalom of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ comes into an individual and their family and their community. You can see the impact it has. And you can see how it begins to set in balance and in order every aspect of life. Every part of that family and that community begins to be set in order. And so whole life discipleship is the act, our action of bringing that kind of shalom through the gospel of Jesus Christ and his kingdom into a community. So when you ask, so what is that whole life discipleship? Maybe you can now answer as well. And just talk about, it stands on shalom, the concept of complete wholeness in every aspect of life. And the gospel of Jesus Christ being brought to bear on every aspect of a community. So for us, as I was going through this, I thought, okay, so Andy, how's your shalom? How's my shalom? Do I have complete inner and outer tranquility? Am I balanced? And there's some areas in my life I need to work on, starting with my own relationship with Jesus. I tend to get really busy doing stuff with the Lord and don't spend enough time with the Lord. That leads to a lack of shalom in my life. Look around my neighborhood. Is there shalom in, on my street, in my neighborhood, even beyond my neighborhood, in my church? That shalom in our church, and beginning to look at all those areas. And so, is there some encouragement I could give you with this idea of shalom? Maybe that would be it. Look at your own shalom before the Lord, your relationship with God, your relationship, sort of inner relationship, relationship with your family, your neighborhood. And just, if there's areas that need to be worked on with the gospel of Jesus Christ in his kingdom, to bring shalom to all areas of your life and your
life of the church is love. Shalom. Peace be with you.